Grace, mercy, and peace be on you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God upon which we base our message is the first verse of the second reading, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Imagine, if you will, that you're in a delivery room. A new mom had just given birth to her child. The newborn son is placed in her arms, and she holds her baby child very close. She touches the child, because this is the most precious thing in her life. This small touch says to her, to the child, I love you. There's communication there. There's closeness there. There's comfort. There's warmth. And there's awareness of life. All in that delivery room. Research shows that children who do not have the touch, who are not close with their mother when they're born, can be born in a very bad way. As a matter of fact, in a London hospital not too long ago, London, England, a number of babies were put in a room and left alone. They all turned to the wall and they died because they had no touch, no one to give them that comfort, that community, that important thing. This is the honest truth. They were not touched and they died. You and I need a touch. We need God's touch. We need it all the time. We need it more than hearing the Bible where it says the disciples were touched and Thomas was touched. That's not enough. We need the touch of God. The church has a special word for that. It's a word that you've heard and you hear once in a while. It's a word called incarnation. Incarnation means the little baby that Mary touched with her fingers, maybe, and touched on her head and touched with her body. That little baby was God. That was God. That was not just an ordinary baby. That baby was God. When she held her fingers, when she squeezed him, she was squeezing God. God grew up. His touch continued. Remember the story of the man who was blind? Remember how Jesus healed him? He took some mud, put it on his eyes, and lo and behold, that man could see. He touched other people like Thomas. He put his fingers in Thomas's side and he touched him. Throughout his life, there's examples of being touched. What did Jesus do with the little children? He brought them on his lap and he touched them. He loved the little children. He loved them so much that he gave them a touch. And can't we say today that he still touches? He touched me right here on these steps back in 1982. I was touched in this church with a hand placed on my hand, head. the hand of Pastor Crompart, as some of you remember, and I was ordained. I was ordained into the ministry by that touch. And I remember that touch, as I'm sure most ministers do. It was kind of special. It was kind of neat to be in a church full of people and have someone put their hand on your head and say, "You are now an ordained minister of God." That's where it started. A touch is a sign of love. It's a sign of closeness and community. Now, some would say, we no longer have the physical touch. I can't reach out and shake Jesus' hands. I can't do that anymore. And neither can you, because he's not here. We know he's ascended. We don't know what he's like where he's ascended. I just assumed he's a human being, just like us, with eyes and ears and nose and mouth and everything else. That's what I've always assumed. So what do we do if we don't have the touch? What do we do if we can't touch Jesus? I'd suggest several things. I'd suggest you shake hands when you leave this church. That's a part of the touch. Also, another suggestion is when someone calls on a telephone and has a need, and they're Christian, you talk to them. That's a kind of touch. And another one, when we're with young people, kids in Sunday school or whatever, and we tell them the story of Jesus, isn't that a touch? Aren't we touching them by saying, Jesus loves you? By the way, just as a little sideline, Jesus Loves You is the most popular song that was ever written. Nobody has ever written a song more popular and more well known than Jesus Loves You. And you can take that one to the bank. The incarnation means that by some way the Son of God became man. Became man. My wife and I had the thrill of being in Jerusalem. We saw the tomb. We saw the cross. We were on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, we have pictures of the sun coming over the Sea of Galilee. We had communion on a mountainside, the Mount of Olives, I believe it was, one of those places. All of this brought back to life the touch of Jesus. But it brought back even more. It brought back the fact that a man was inside that hole which they call the grave. And one goes inside that grave and there's places for three people. Jesus and the owner, and I'm not sure of who the third one was. But it comes to your heart and mind when you stand there and see that that's where Jesus was, the incarnate Son of God. And the most impressive place of all, place I'll never forget, was the manger. You could stand over the manger and you could see where he was born. The crowds there were unbelievable. We had about a minute to stand there and watch and see the manger. But it's something you never forget. What happens when the loss of touch occurs? I already mentioned this, but I've known kids whose parents are completely divorced, not in a divorce sense, but in a sense of not having closeness with their parents. And that's crucial. That's vital. If you and I don't give our kids a hug, or don't tell them we love them once in a while, all I can say is, wait till they grow up. They'll remember that. It's so good to see kids with their parents here in church. That means a lot. The most devastating touch, the most devastating touch which you and I have is a touch of death. I can remember, as probably you can, when your mom and dad died, or your brother and sister. Can you remember standing at the casket and thinking, boy, no more touch. I won't be with them anymore. I won't have a chance to say hi, Mom, or to eat her lemon pie. That's all gone. But we have to remember, God is incarnate. On the cross, he felt forsaken by his Father. He felt that there was no more touch. He felt that for a while. No more touch. And he said those words which we hear every year. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He lost the touch. But the loss of that touch allowed us to be touched by God. Because his touch was lost, or at least seemed to be for a while, we are touched by God. We are touched by God when he came back to life. We know the Easter story. We are touched by God as he became a human. Although he was human, we were touched by God. He arose from the dead. Because he lives, we live too. Because he touches us, we need to touch and reach out to others. We all need the right touch. We need warm greetings. We need hugs. We need handshakes. And sometimes in a funeral home, we just need to be held by somebody. We need the touch of God. The resurrection says our hope is in that touch. And being touched will not end at the grave. Being touched will not end at the grave. At the grave, we begin a new life, a new way of touching, a new way of being with God. Jesus was heard, he was seen, he was touched. His life brought many into fellowship. In the Bible classes and churches and Christian communities throughout this world, his life and his touch is still there. When I read, when you read, in conclusion, when we read, we are touched. I mean, no, maybe we're using a word too much, but I'm trying to get the idea across. Sometimes it's emotional. Let me quick tell you a story, and I can't beat our conclusion. There's 2-3 people here who remember what I'm talking about. Chuck and a couple others. In 1974... a large truck pulled up to this church. it pulled up to the side over here. It was filled with where you're sitting. It was filled with pews. It was filled with the altar rail. It was filled with the pulpit. I don't remember if there was one truck or if there was two. But I remember that incident because I had to call people to get them to come over and help carry all the furniture in, all the furniture that you see. My job, and please don't take this the wrong way, but my job was in a way more important, I thought, than anybody else. I carried the baptismal pew in. How many babies have been touched by that? It was my honor to carry that little baptismal font. And how many babies have come into this church and with water and with the word been touched? There's been many. God is a light and Jesus is a touch. May we know that the blood of Jesus which touched this world is the right touch for our sins and for our forgiveness. Amen. May the peace of God which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ who still touches. Amen.